And the only way that you can live out love is by allowing the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to be implanted in us. You know, God is love. And if He's living in us, then we're living out love.
We'll get to the rest of Pastor Mark's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black. We'll have more information about the church and how to contact us at the end of the podcast, but for right now, let's join Mark for this week's message.
This morning's scripture reading is in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look like orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
And all God's people say,
amen.
Thank you, Emily. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Something really easy to do, isn't it? For some of us, it may be something that is hard to do. You know, our son, Ben, or Benji, or Benjamin, we called him a lot of names. We even called him Schleindenfuzz. Yes. He worked for a computer company that store network data storage, and he had gone to a variety of businesses to check out various equipment and to do networking and everything. Once a while, he would get a call and it would say, you know, the computer just isn't working. I can't get it on the network. I just don't understand what's wrong with it. And when he got there, you know, he realized that it wasn't plugged in. Yeah. Do you have that other one there? That next one or not? Yeah. You know, and the sad thing was he had to charge them a service charge for that. And he came to realize that computers don't work very well unless they're plugged into a source of electric. Have you ever noticed that? It happens, doesn't it? But did you know that Christians are the same way? We really are. Now, this sermon is entitled Quick to Hear, Slow to Speak, and Slow to Anger. And that's something that's very important. And you may say that that's impossible for me to do, but it isn't. The book of James shows us how we can live like that and much more. In fact, if you look at the book of James, and James, by the way, was the half-brother of Jesus, called a half-brother, and he became very important in the church of Jerusalem, and he deals with this idea of faith and works. Now, in the scripture that was read this morning, we took a look at something that's very important in that idea. And it starts with this. My first point is, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, I sat there and I began to think about this. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And I realized that a person must first realize his need, has to realize need and ask for help. And in order for that to happen, it requires humility. Now, ladies, you know what it's like when men are driving somewhere. And you know where I'm going with this. We don't like to ask for directions or help. We just keep right on a driving. But when it comes to coming to the Lord, we've got to realize our need. And that takes a little bit of humility. And then you'll receive it. Now, there's an interesting thing here that the word says, the word implanted. I looked that up in the Greek, and that was an interesting word. It's accusative, by the way, or the direct object. But it comes from the Greek word logos. Interesting word. Logos is. Now, this is a word that has a special meaning for Christians. And there are other Greek words for the word word. Yeah. But it's a title for the preexistence of Jesus. The Word. Take a look at John 1:1, and then we'll also look at verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word, Logos, was God. And then if you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, you see that the preexistence of Jesus prior to coming to this earth was Logos. Now, it's interesting that Logos, it is Christ. Before Jesus came to this earth, He was known as the Word that became flesh. Now, James went on to say that that Word must be implanted in us. And he went on to say, be doers of the Word, Logos. Now, I realize, you know, there's other Greek words that Logos is used, but it sometimes is translated as the commands of God also. Now, in Romans 8:9 is an interesting scripture. It deals with the Spirit of God and Christ. We know that to be the Holy Spirit. Now, when you come to verse 9, it says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, that Spirit of Christ is not like the Spirit of Christmas or the Spirit of the Easter Bunny. Okay? He is an actual Spirit that dwells in us. Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, alive in you. What has been implanted in me is the Spirit of God. And boy, when you get the Spirit of God with the words in this book, wow, that is a fire that burns in you. And so we find out that the Holy Spirit is given to Christians. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. Now we find another interesting thing in Galatians 4, 6. And listen to this. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wow. That's how we become sons of God. We share the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. See how important God's Holy Spirit is in our relationship with God? A person once asked me, how can you have a relationship with something you can't see? Or you can't even have a conversation together? Really? You see, they were missing God's Holy Spirit. He's implanted in us to walk as Christ walked in this life. Christ forgives our sins, and that leaves it possible for us to have the Holy Spirit. And you become sons and have a relationship with Him. People, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you? Can I hear an amen? Okay. You know, God's Holy Spirit has given to us. We're His children of God, and we can rejoice in that. We can enjoy the fellowship with God. He dwells in us. You see, if we're missing the Holy Spirit that He's implanted in us, then we got a problem. We've got a problem in life. Secondly, there's another thing in this verse of scripture from James. And I hope you continue reading there in James and continue on. Secondly, it says, look intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it. Now, that sounds kind of odd because we don't have the complete sentence. If you look at the complete sentence, it says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, we don't live by the old law anymore, do we? Anybody bring a sacrifice today to put on an altar and... No. It only showed us that old law, what our sins were, right and wrong. It couldn't bring forgiveness. So what is this perfect law? The law of liberty that James speaks about. Well, Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Does that mean we just bear one another's burden and that's the law of Christ? That's it? Oh no, what is the law of Christ? Well, there's a number of scriptures we can turn. One of the scribes came, it's in Mark 12, 28 through 31. It says, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, said to him, what commandment is the foremost of all, most important? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, what is the common word spoken here? Love. Love. In fact, when we look at Jesus, He gave a law. He gave a commandment. And that commandment, that law, is found in John 13:34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know, when we become a Christian, we become a doer of love. Did you ever think about that? We become a doer of love. And the only way that you can live out love is by allowing the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to be implanted in us. You know, God is love. And if He's living in us, then we're living out love. How true that is. And so the whole book of James talks about doing. But it's not about doing in the flesh. Doing something because I want to be saved. Or doing something because I just think I should. It's about doing things because love is in you. So whether that's being slow to speak and to listen, or quick to listen, slow to anger, whether it's about that or any other thing, love is the driving force, the love of God that is in us. Now, that's why he says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. You know why? He's not living by love. He's not living by the love of God. And that brings me to a third point. This man's religion is worthless. You know what? I don't want to have a worthless religion. I don't. The precious Spirit that lives in us, you know, not choked and quieted, is only going to produce good. It's only going to produce love. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. You know, that's why Paul commanded, and we didn't quite get there in Sunday school, but you'll get it right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. We can't do that, people. God's Holy Spirit's like the fire that's in us. You know? And when we allow the Holy Spirit to live in our life, we just ooze forth with the love of God. But we can turn to the Holy Spirit and say no, and it's like taking a bucket of water and going, and just dashing out that fire. How sad that can be, because that religion then is worthless. We're choking God out of our lives. You know, God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. And how many times have you ever read the Scripture and it spoke to you? And you said, oh yes. Or you realize that God's pointing something out in your life that you might need to change. That's God's Holy Spirit. If you stop doing what God wants to change in your life, your religion's worthless. It truly is. You know, if we allow the Holy Spirit in us, you know what it produces? Love. Love for God is love. And we are His children. And so, the writer of James turns and says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Now, do you mean that Christianity is all about orphans and widows? Is that what he's getting at? I think a little. What he's getting at is loving, caring for, helping, reaching out, allowing the love of God to just shine out of us, and touching orphans and widows. It's much more. It's about living out love. It's the expression of love when we do. Now, it's about caring. It's about living out God's love. And so when we hear quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, we need to do those things because that's living out God's love. So, number one, we can't do that without the Word of God, God's Holy Spirit living in us. It needs to be implanted in us. You know, isn't that interesting? And then we can live by the law of Christ, which is love for others. And then we can live, when we try to live without the Holy Spirit and Christ in our life, we're trying to live life on our terms and on our own, and our religion is going to be worthless. Let me ask you a question. How can the Word that lives in us speak evil or express itself in hate or maybe judgmental remarks or gossip? None of that is love. And what we've told the Holy Spirit is, be quiet. I want to live life on my own, by my own terms. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You're enforcing the spirit of love in your life. Don't be like the computer that's never plugged in. Yeah. Yep. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit looks like this in our life. There's cobwebs. Maybe we've said no over and over and over and over. And God says, I want you to be free. I want to have fellowship with you. I live inside you. I want to walk and talk with you. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, ha ha, none of it can compare. Isn't that true? Oh, how God loves us. So, you begin the journey, don't you? And for us, that's been a long journey. We believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we confessed Him. We confessed Him before others, and He confesses us before the Father in heaven. We repent of our sins. Now, that's not the only time we repent, people. Right? And we're baptized, and He washes away our sins. And He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. The sins have been taken care of, therefore I'm going to come and dwell in you. Enjoy your relationship by walking in the newness of life, in the Spirit of God. Maybe there's someone here today that you've been trying to live the Christian life in a fleshly way, and you've stumbled and stumbled. Or maybe you've never confessed Jesus, never believed in the Son of God. who came to this earth to show us the Father. This invitation is for you. And also, maybe there's someone here that wants to show the love of God at Beechwood Christian Church on Easton and work together so that a community may see the love of God through us. I'm going to ask the people come forward and we're going to pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Dwell in us and live in us. Father, we have a job to do. We are thankful for our salvation. But Lord, it doesn't stop there. We must live out our love for you. We don't live this out to earn salvation. We could never, ever, ever do that. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But Father, we live out love because we love you. Help us in the way we treat others, to bear one another's burdens, to look to a world that is so sad, that needs you. Help us to help them recognize their need. Make us different from the world. Empower us for the task ahead. Work in the hearts of people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast. We really hope you get a chance to worship with us sometime at Beechwood Christian Church. We're located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on our website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you join us. Again, thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.